Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I finally got the erratic deck, bitches! I don't know what to do with my life now until 1.1 comes out. And with me, I have...
The simulation is broken. Execute Plan B. The bees!
And...
I just realized, I think this was for Lazarus... We be the tech nerds, or just the, or even lower than that, the using coffee nerds, I don't know.
I mean, IT jobs pay well. We can do that.
Oh, God, yeah. Man, I wish. I'll be doing a lot better than I am right now.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, especially me.
Plus, then I get to hang out with Axel Gilberto, and who doesn't want that? But this isn't a Lazarus podcast. Yet. That would have to be for another time. But, instead, this is the Decibel Boost Podcast. Episode 389. We're all still technically alive, I assume, right?
Oh, where do I fucking start?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Okay, last week was one of the weeks of all time, a week that proved nobody knows what the fuck they're doing, and also a great reminder of that one bit from one of the greatest shows of the late 2000s, early 2010s, The Whitest Kids You Know. You know the bit, I don't have to say it. Because if I do say it, somebody will clip it out of context and I'll get in trouble, but yeah. We're all thinking it.
One of these days I'm going to have to watch The Whitest Kids You Know.
You should. It's a very good show. And the whole show is up for free on YouTube.
Thank legally. God. So my YouTube binging is going to be like that, Kamen Rider, and then I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah, it's basically dark sort of cringe sketch humor, which is up my alley. The humor's very dry, which, again, I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, become a master of dry humor around here. It's as dry as the deserts. Something very gross that I will not say.
Yeah, I know they don't like one of them dudes directed that one movie, Barbarian, I believe.
Rest in peace, Trevor Moore. Too good to live.
That is sad.
Yeah, and as far as the rest of the week goes on my end, yeah, I had a fucking burnout kind of week. It's not been good. I've been feeling like I've just been crashing a lot. I slept in until noon today. That's how tired I've been from fucking everything. Ugh. It's not been fun. I got so much shit I gotta do, but... As I continue to disassociate myself from everyone and everything, I've just been trying to take my mind off of everything being on fire by doing fun things and productive things, which, I mean, I tried. That counts for something. It's not very does. Well, because I got a lot of shit I gotta do around here, but, yeah, anytime y'all want to execute Plan B, that would be fantastic. Just execute Plan B already. I'm tired of waiting. The murder hornets were not here to threaten us. They were trying to warn us. We did not heed what they were trying to say. We're sorry, murder hornets. Come back. Unleash your hell upon those who deserve it the most. Those bald-headed fucks in charge.
I should have known that was more than just a filler arc.
Also, if that fat motherfucker is 225 pounds, I'm fucking anorexic. Fuck you.
That's about as much as I weigh.
Wait, what?
Never mind, we'll tell you later.
Okay.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Weeks. Which we've been out for one episode. We've been out for an episode. Because you didn't get the memo. My week has not been the greatest. In fact, it's been one of the most stressful weeks. I've illegal in my life only because it's something that, well, is another repeat situation. My financial woes and how it affected me mentally and how depressed it got me. I'm trying to keep calm because the last few days I have been really upset and displaying some shit that I probably told them already off mic, but yeah, I've been doing a whole lot of things. In case you didn't know, in case you find me on Blue Sky and Instagram, I've been just saying, I needed some help. And, well, I mean, I got a little in and out, but first of all, it's a temporary thing, but it looks like I might have to keep doing this. I mean, I'm trying to find other things to keep me afloat, but yeah, but for the meantime, I'm trying to keep myself happy or keep myself just not focused so much on that because it's really just taking over my life and I don't want to do that. Which, well, all the family that you two mentioned, oh yeah, Devil Artemis, since you mentioned that a couple episodes ago, like, oh yeah, I remember watching him. He was kind of funny. Amazing enough, I found him out through one person. Do you know what I mean? Can you give a guess?
Is it me? I bet it's me.
Well, not you. It's somebody else that even he mentioned on his older videos.
Team Four Star?
Not them, but you're getting close.
Little Karibo?
Alejandro Saab.
Oh!
Yeah. Him.
Oh, yeah. My roommate's a really big fan of his VTuber stuff. Him and Amelie, I believe.
I figured, I'm watching a whole bunch of that, which this man say, it's kind of funny. This should be a funny. Yeah, I needed that. No, I really needed that.
Dragon Ball shitposts are a great way to take your mind off the horrors. All you have to think about is Kermit the Frog's dummy thick cheeks.
Now imagine a hand going in those cheeks.
I think I've read that on AO3. It was very detailed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't worry. It's just fabric. It's not disgusting. That is, unless your hand goes all the way through it.
We should probably move on before this conversation.
Dry humor, folks. I'm a master at it. I'm funny.
Drier than a Popeye's biscuit.
They are very dry and very untasty.
And I'm just random.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, well, a handful of things. On the gaming side of things, I have obviously made enough progress in Redacted to get the erratic deck. In case you're wondering, I've mainly been using the yellow deck to achieve those higher stakes. Also, in an amusing little sidebar, remember how I said the whole Redacted joke started because we have officially, one of my roommates instituted like a swear jar policy on that word? Said roommate is now officially addicted to the game as well.
My, how the turntables.
tis very ironic indeed.
And here I am almost finished with the whole damn game on my Apple Arcade save.
Part of me is tempted to download it on PC just so I can look into the modding scene for it, because I did get curious and saw a lot of very interesting and very, very funny things. There is, in fact, a mod that replaces the stone card with Dwayne Johnson. This is the only purpose of the mod. And other things, of course, like, honestly, I gotta check if there's, like, a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure mod for all the tarot stuff. Or, hell, I even saw one that just reskins every card to be has-been hotel-themed. But, yeah, aside from that, I should probably also mention, I mentioned this off-conversation, but in relation to the weird little sign-off thing for the album roundup, which hopefully will be out by this point. So over the weekend, I was folding some laundry in my room, and I needed something to throw on because I figured it was gonna... Well, I had to take out some other stuff, and I figured, eh, why not? So I decided to flip through Max and their offerings for All Elite Wrestling, because my partner keeps telling me, oh yeah, they finally put it up on there, and I know you watched that. I'm like, oh yeah, I suppose I could watch if I wanted to. First of all, I'm still a little bit confused because I just searched AEW on its own and it pulls up like five different things. So I'm going to have to sort through, I guess, which is which. I'm assuming it's not a fully just linear experience. You probably have to do some jumping around. But I just sort of went with the earliest thing I could find, which was an AEW Dynamite broadcast from October 2nd. Literally the first match was Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara, followed by Chris Jericho ambushing Cody out of nowhere, and my immediate reaction was, fuck you, Jericho, your music is shit and can't even handle hot ones. Yeah, so, also, MJF, you know, the man, the myth, the bastard, up against some guy named Brandon Cutler, which actually gave me some context for, because the first time his name ever entered my psyche was that one meme, or that one thing going around that was like, oh, I don't play Dungeons and Dragons. And then some guy named Joe Manganiello?
Joe Manganiello, yeah. I know that guy from somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy too. Yeah.
And he's like, I do, and shows his flexed muscles. I'm like, oh, yeah, so that's the context for that. And then Jay and Silent Bob were there for some reason. There was a bunch of other stuff happening that I thought was fun. And then I started watching the one afterwards, and while I was watching through it, I realized something, like, at least these first two broadcasts that I watched literally ended, they ended the same way. Lights go out, and then suddenly Cody Rhodes shows up, which I'm curious how, because I know I saw that new Super Eye Patch Wolf video, and I know there's a point where Rhodes, despite founding AEW, eventually leaves. Is this whole lights off, suddenly Rhodes, like, a thing?
Number one, it's a very common trope. It happens all the time. Number two, we don't have the time to talk about why he left, so we'll just leave it at that. It's just a common trope, nothing more.
Alright, fair enough, fair enough. But, I mean, I did enjoy those two broadcasts. I'll have to keep an eye out, because I know this week, from what I've heard, they're taping in Boston, and my partner's actually going to be at that event, so that might be fun. I shall keep an eye out. And maybe I can find one of those very funny, unrelated poster boards with a hot gaming take.
They're everywhere.
I'll be the one in the crowd going, the DMC reboot is the best one. But, anyway, aside from that, just kind of same old, so let us move on to the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past couple of weeks. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for any new albums, all that jazz. And, as a matter of fact, Mark, you want to take care of this first one?
Yes, I would. So, returning here is a Bystorm. Let me get a refresher. Those are the new form of the trio Injury Reserve, as I mentioned before. The member Jordan Groff passed away in 2020. And of course, after released their last album, of course, they now formed the duo Bystorm. They did a first track called Double Trio, and now it gets a sequel with Double Trio 2. And okay, I will say this is definitely some bizarre weird shit I'm hearing out of here here from the production, from another from the industry saying, yeah, we back. Yeah. You didn't think we'd just jump right back to it like this, huh? Like, basically trying to turn over a new lead. Like, you know, they're still, you know, trying to find a thing for me, find the finding as a duo since the trio is, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, we'll say, yeah, it's, there's a lot of more that more experimental rap, like hip hop, like what they were doing back when they were Injury Reserve, which I did this as that, and I thought they were good. And this one, okay, they still continue doing that very weird trippy type of shit going on here, and I still say, whenever we get a, you know, an official album, from them. Yeah, I mean, I like what I've been hearing from them.
Yeah, not gonna lie, I really dig the vibe here with the beats and everything. Anyway, not much to add there, so moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look, a new DJ Sabrina single. I hope that means a new album comes out, and hopefully that runs, one that runs about as long as an intermission from a Quentin Reviews video. Maybe the intermissions compilation. I am just about at the halfway point, by the way. Just halfway. I went to a thing that does math on time just to calculate that shit. Anyway, so the next single here is called Keep Wondering Why, and as usual, the nostalgic dance vibes on this are completely immaculate, and I will continue to stress that until you all understand and start listening to more DJ Sabrina, because she absolutely understands the assignment and how to craft a good fucking time. The beat is very tight, the synth melodies are all fantastic, there's great use of bells in the background, and the layering of the vocal samples to create really, you know, lush melodic feelings, and of course the really great sense of momentum with the ebbs and flows, with kind of the softer pockets in between a lot of the more, you know, out loud in your face parts of the song. It is a good time.
Yeah, this is a vibe, a very lushful vibe. I thought this was like a long ass track, usually when the track lists come out for the, you know, for the songs to talk about, sometimes I put them on the YouTube watch later playlist so I can, you know, watch them in the order. And when I play, I was like, wait, why play twice? It played twice. I was like, oh, that's why I keep hearing it over again, which I didn't mind. It was very pleasing.
Now, moving on to the next track here, it looks like Aesop Rock is set to release a new album this year, May 30th, titled Black Hole Superette. And apparently it's something about, like, a delirious late-night visit to a 7-Eleven, or I guess that's what the description suggests. It's, as usual, it's going to be a very, very probably out there concept on, you know, the part of Mr. Rock. According to the track list here, there's also going to be some occasional guest features, specifically Armin Hammer, of course, Open Mike Eagle, Hani El Khatib, and even one track that features Homeboy Sandman and Lupe Fiasco. Huh, I didn't realize Lupe was still making music. Right.
Yeah, he did that last year, remember?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I did an album last year and it was fine.
That's probably why I don't remember, because it was one of the albums of all time. Alright, so we have the lead-off single here, which is called Checkers. And as you can expect, the beat kind of has like a lot of these cosmic synths that eventually give way to, you know, kind of like bass and drums to kind of set the stage for, you know, Rock's flow and everything. And as usual, it's a bunch of words that are being strung together. I couldn't exactly tell you what they're all supposed to add up to. I mean, like, how do I put this? Okay. The second line of the song is anomaly in the algorithm, do the algebraculous.
Oh god.
At algebraculous. Okay. Take this from a math major. That might terrify me more than any horror movie I've ever watched. I do not want to know what Algebraculus looks like. I have one fear.
This is why I'm on the writing than math.
Yeah, you and all of my roommates. I am the lone math dude, and I think it terrifies people. But yeah, as you can expect, there's a lot of just strange stream of conscious stuff going on. I don't know. I'm into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's two, like, I could try and quote the lyrics on Genius, but I think my brain would fall apart if I tried to. But it's pretty dope. We got some good shit with this.
Yep, some good stuff. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Funnily enough, speaking of Arm & Hammer, so as we know, on May 9th, we're going to get the latest solo effort from Billy Woods with Gollywog. And we have the latest single here, Black Zombie, spelled with zero vowels. It's kind of doing the thanks for the memories thing here. With the production courtesy of Steel Tipped Dove, who is a name that pops up a lot in, Billy's and Arm & Hammer's production credits. So, the beat here kind of has, like, this vague, almost kind of feels like this world classic rock thing going on. Like, the drums and strings kind of feel like Kashmir a little bit. And then the guitars kick in, and it's got this really, like, ominous feel to it, which is fitting of the lyrics. Like, of course, Billy Woods' flow is very, like, steady, kind of stream of conscious, but the actual lyrical content, like, zombie in particular, is specifically referring to, like, the ruling class of society, and how they just kind of constantly violently indulge their baser instincts at the expense of the masses. If you need one passage in particular, zombies go home to platters of prawn and escargot, Moët Chandon bottles bust against the bows of boat, zombies fucking on hoes, hoes is zombies too though, new mothers struggle while the zombies suckle like baby goats. And that definitely does feel like an apt metaphor, given how often it feels like the ruling class of the world just kind of acts on instinct and then doesn't ever actually bother to think about shit, cause we are ruled by the dumbest motherfuckers. Evil motherfuckers, but also dumb motherfuckers, and I don't like it. I do like the song, though. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And in case you're wondering about into an outro, it's from a Channel 4 news interview of Ugandan president. Oh my god. I fucked up your name. I'm sorry, but in lieu of what he said, that sandwich is between it's the bread within the lyrics, just the meat.
Yeah, there's a lot to dig into that you could. I mean, hell, if I'm remembering correctly, apparently, like, zombies, I think, have their origins in, like, Haiti, like Haitian mythology and voodoo and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not the type of person to have a conversation about that. That's a whole rabbit hole worthy of, like, a video essay or something. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, after some teases here and there in spots, it looks like the guys in Turnstile are back with a new album dated for June 6th, titled Never Enough. And, of course, we have the first official single from the album, fittingly enough, the title track. And, well, congratulations on writing the hottest shoegaze jam of 2004, I guess. Seriously, like, the more I think about it, what is it with heavy bands and always coming back to shoegaze? Anyway, so yeah, there's a very lengthy melodic intro, like literally like a minute and 20 seconds. Then eventually the full band kicks in with this steady, like, groove and vibe and everything. And then once all that is done, it just kind of like has this very melodious echoing outwards for just kind of the end. And look, I try to avoid being, like, super dismissive of bands these days, but, like, I just still don't really get Turnstile. This just doesn't do it for me. Like, even as far as, like, shoegaze stuff, it's just, like, why?
Well, I'm not alone. Hooray. Yeah, once again, I still have no idea what to make of this band or what their default style is. Like, is it alternative or metal or punk or garage rock or hardcore or post-metal? And that just leaves me feeling more confused than engaged. But as for this track, it's all right. It's got shoegazy vibes to it, but it's not what I would call my thing, since their styles are just really all over the place compared to other bands who do prog-ish style and genre blending. Yeah, I don't know. People like it. Whatever. Enjoy Coachella, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that is happening.
Yeah, I do have to rescind my joke from last time. Coachella didn't completely suck this year. Courtney Plante with Megan Thee Stallion was pretty cool. I heard the Charlie XCX set was fun. A couple other cool things happened, I guess.
Yeah, there were some cool things,
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I think with this next one.
Sure.
And this is not the call. It's not the call. Why the fuck did I choose this one? So, if anyone knows, if you recognize Sheck West, you remember the song Mo Bamba? And in case you don't, I don't blame you. Yeah, it came out in 2017. It was a thing. It was a thing, and then he got forgotten. Well, a bunch of shit. Also part of the label Cactus Jack, which is run by none other than Travis Scott.
Why do you continue to assault our senses with your middling mid-ass mediocrity, Travis?
When I heard from Sheck West, he began some dumb shit too. So he did some dumb shit too. And well, they reunited on a single called IOMB, which stands for I Love My Bitch.
Huh.
Yeah. Shocker. Yeah, you know how a couple years back there was a song with A$AP Rocky that's called something similar to that. They ain't the same, at least they ain't the same, at least he shows that he actually loves, well, you know, his bitch. Sorry. This was just some basic trap shit, I love my bitch. Like, okay.
This is just fucking boring. I can't even make jokes here. There's just nothing there. Who the fuck made this shit, anyways?
Yeah. Well, who the fuck produced this? And then the reason why I brought this shit up, apparently, according to Stereo Gum, the beat is from. And I shit you not, Adrian Brody. Yes, that Adrian Brody.
That's an interesting name for producer. It almost kind of sounds like that actor guy who's in stuff like The Grand Budapest Hotel and Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Wait, it's the same Adrian Brody,
isn't it?
It's the same one. The same one that did that damn speech. Which is still doing right now. It's like, I guess must be a big cinema fan or some shit, a big film nerd or some shit, I don't know. I mean, then again, they're explaining him work with Christopher Nolan. I mean, okay, fucking, it makes sense. And apparently, going to a complex club story, he says he ran through a fashion show recently and has been a fan of his. He's been in which that's his quote. He said that's his dog. He's been aware of his music shit and working with a lot of the places I fuck with. I didn't know who I am. Like, I'm like, hey, This is just bizarre. This is just bizarre in the most weirdest way. That's what you're singing in the fucking song.
You know what? Why the hell not? Everything else about the simulation is fucking cracking down around us. Sure, let Jack Driscoll from the 2005 King Kong remake produce for a Travis Scott and Sheck West song. What the fuck else are any of us doing?
Is there any other like weirder actor musician collaboration that either happened or fucking like? Okay, like, I don't know, let's have fucking, shit. Let's see, who somebody can be paired up with?
Haley Joel Osment on Scare in the Hose Volume 2.
Okay, do it now.
I don't know, I say that and it could happen, because again, what the fuck even is reality anymore?
The simulation is very broken. Someone needs to fix it. Hard reboot, hard reset, unplug it and plug it back in. We'll all black out for like 5 seconds, but it'll be worth it. Don't worry.
God, I wish I could black out for... Anyway, I'm not finishing that sentence. Let's move on. So, we got two more songs here. Of course, we are currently in the middle of the hype cycle for the newest Sleep Token album, Even in Arcadia, dropping May 9th. We had the release of, you know, the lead single Emergence. There was the whole pre-release hype ARG. The current US tour, which is completely sold out, like, immediately after everything went on sale. And hell, there's even that whole other fucking ARG conspiracy thing involving some heretofore unheard-of band called President that's supposedly gonna make their debut at Download Festival this year. But I digress. This is not the time for a Sleep Token conspiracies. But we do have single number 2 here to contend with, and it is called Caramel. Probably a fitting name, but also an ironic one. Well, fitting in the sense that the first half of the song or so definitely goes way more into the pop side. Like, this is one of those songs that starts really poppy and then takes a bit to swell into more of, like, the quintessential rock metal feel of things. And obviously, the pop metal hybrid stuff is a big part of the appeal. But I gotta be honest about my initial reaction, which is when I heard, like, those kind of, like, melodic percussion and, like, that kind of twinkling melody thing, that my immediate thought was that one really annoying, godforsaken, fuck-ass Ed Sheeran song. You know the one.
Yes.
Man. So what happens after the boots of reggaeton beats?
Oh, no.
Anyway, like I said, I'm not super fond on that, on the way it starts, but eventually once it settles into, like, the back half or, like, the detuned guitars start hitting, that's when it starts course correcting into the good stuff with, like, you know, the fast grooves, the blast beats, the visceral screams. Just, if y'all are gonna do pop, stay far the fuck away from Mr. Sheeran.
I don't think that was the intention for that styling, but this track is like the equivalent, spittily enough for its title, of a Milky Way midnight bar. It's got all the sweet, sugary caramel to it, with some dark chocolate blended in with all the nougaty goodness and airy vanilla cream. Think, you know, the aggressive second half with the low-tuned guitars and blast beats and all that, and all the very harsh screams with the main melody hook. And this is how you get me interested in genre blending. It's like crafting a platter with two main ingredient pieces on both ends. You can't just put everything out and say, here you go, have a sample of everything. You're not the Dream Cafe from Seinfeld. If you make three different styles of food, no one's going to show up. You make one style of three different kinds of food, though. That's how you get people hooked in.
One of these days, I'm going to watch Seinfeld. And I will finally understand these references. Ugh. And yes, as for the dark chocolate, dark side of the song, it's basically lyrically, at the very least, about how the fame ain't all it's cracked up to be. It ain't quite as sweet as Vessel might have hoped.
Yeah. Also, the whole sense of the whole doxing thing that happened last year, which, don't do that, people!
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Ugh.
You dicks. All of you.
You can't trust the internet with anything. Anyway, let's move on to the final song here, and, alright, motherfuckers, I'm starting to think I might have called it in a few respects, so it looks like we finally have the announcement that on June 13th, we will be getting the newest studio album from Baby Metal, titled Metal 4th, and I had been calling it with every time we had to bring them up recently on the podcast, that from this announcement, this is going to be following the mold of Metal Galaxy, i.e. being an album that is extremely collaboration heavy. In addition to the previously heard singles that had the likes of Tom Morello and Electric Callboy, we have the likes of Bloodywood, Polyphia, and even Spiritbox. I'm ignoring the Slaughter to Prevail track. It doesn't exist. But we have this, we have, you know, a single, obviously, to coincide with this announcement, and it's actually the album opener. Not the closer, the opener. Which, in my book, is perfectly A-okay. In this case, the song is called From Me to You, and it features Poppy! Wow, Poppy and Spiritbox on the same album.
Which is which?
It's wonderful. I mean, you have to be a real fucking moron to get those two confused, let me tell you.
Anyway, so as you can imagine, the verses have the kind of characteristic energy of, like, a lot of the big radio metalcore stuff of, like, the 2000s and 2010s. Kind of like a little bit of Trivium energy in spots, but of course, with the metals, the girls all singing very enthusiastically, and the choruses have a lot of, you know, big melodic energy to them, all kind of coming together with the kind of progression and songwriting that you would expect from the most hype of hype anime OPs. Which reminds me that I actually got to see what's out there this season. All I've seen so far is Lazarus, Black Butler, and Witch Watch. But anyway, as for Poppy herself, again, to sort of piggyback off of some of the stuff I've been saying recently, I do in fact think she's legitimately improving as a singer. Like, I'm not sure I'm still on board with, like, her own solo output, but at the very least, I think she works at her best in recent years as, like, a really memorable guest contributor to songs like this. So, honestly, yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, okay, so, as I say in the chorus, Kimberly Toloke, aka From Me to You, has a good bit of a lot to it, actually. From Poppy's feature to that Amen breaking sample at the start, I heard that. You can't fool me, guys. To the truck driver key change in the final chorus, where it just goes up, you know, a full step. To, oh, what's this? Jordan Fish producing it. Wow. Seems like he's doing just fine after, you know, Bring Me the Horizon happened. Good for him. I'm also not totally used to hearing Susuka singing in English, and that's always a pleasant treat on these songs, so, yeah, I enjoy that. Also, this might be the first Baby Metal album to get an explicit tag on it, thanks to Poppy and her fierce, harsh vocals on here. Great track. I can't wait to hear most of the rest of the album. You could have said no to that guy, Cole Metzel. I'm just saying, you could have said no.
I feel like that was probably a label decision, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's all industrial bullshit at the end of the day.
Also, that reminds me, one of these days I kind of want to watch Kimi ni Todoke.
I hear it's good.
As do I.
I think I watched some of it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
And yep. I think, because I know that sequel's on there, which I didn't get to it as much because I sort of fell off quick, but it's still good. I just got back to it.
Yeah. Also, for this season, Yaiba, it's good. It's fun, it's good.
Yeah.
So I've been told.
Yeah.
Up to and including the handsome dad.
Indeed.
Alright, and with all that out of the way, now we're going to take a little bit of a break now that we're done with the new songs. When we come back, we have a little bit of news to talk about, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have two news topics to discuss. First up is the little pocket of joy that we can get in these unfortunate times, which is laughing at Billy McFarland and his stupid face and his stupid, stupid festival. Just so stupid all the way around. There probably won't even be a documentary about this one, unfortunately, but... as we all know, the man has been very, very adamant that no, really, Firefest 2 is totally happening for real this time. Look at my shit-eating grin in my TikToks. But
and my teeth.
Oh my god, it's fucking teeth. He looks like he couldn't eat a tortilla. Like I bet his teeth close right at the point where he can't even bite through it properly without some serious maneuverability. Anyway, so, a lot of reports have been coming out about the supposed legitimacy of this whole fucking festival. First of all, the most recent stuff is that Playa del Carmen, one of the locations supposedly involved in the second Fyre Festival, has denied any involvement. Apparently over the weekend, McFarlane and a whole bunch of other people posted stuff to Instagram that as proof that they were going to, quote, lawfully host an event. But apparently the permits don't exactly say that. So accordingly, the caption of the post is like, all media reports suggesting our team has not been working with the government of PDC are simply inaccurate and based on misinformation. Ah, fucking... venture capital dipshit pulling the misinformation card. Fyre has operated as a good partner with Playa del Carmen government and has followed the proper processes and procedures to lawfully host an event as outlined below. The documents apparently include a permit dated March 18th authorizing Firefest 2 to take place at Martina Beach Club, which only has a maximum capacity of about 250 people. Only approves 12 total hours from midnight to 4 a.m. each day between May 30th and June 1st. And apparently...
lol.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, lol.
Lamau, even. But apparently, looking at all of this permit stuff, the festival does not actually have a permit for live musical performances.
That's the Lamau even.
Rather, the permit they obtained on March 26 only authorizes what is described as a música grabada, or recorded music. So basically just like a glorified listening party across a few days.
Oh.
And then looking at everything further, the official ticketing site for the festival, soldout.com, ha ha ha, are not officially selling Firefest tickets anymore. Like, I clicked the link right now, and there are no results for the event. Please come back later. So, yeah, this is obviously a... like, for just as a reminder, the man was teasing 1,800 guests and 40 performing artists, including, like... What was the guy's name? It was like a fucking football player.
Oh, Antonio Brown.
Oh Lord, yeah, Antonio Brown. Yeah. Like, I'm just looking at this. Dude, they even like, so the consequence article we're looking at has like full scans of the permits for as pulled from Fyre Festival's Instagram. And they all they're very much in Spanish, so well, I guess they were assuming that, like, no one is gonna check what this bullshit means in Spanish. Like, dude, somebody's gonna translate this stuff. Like even if they can't directly, like, dude, most websites these days usually have, like, a translation option. Maybe not a great one, but I'm pretty sure it would reveal that you're kind of full of shit.
Maybe he just thought, it's only Mexico. I mean, I can get away with anything in Mexico without realizing that they actually have a functioning government. We don't. They do.
God, I wonder what that's like.
It would be nice to feel that again, and hopefully sooner rather than later we will. But one note here on the consequence of sound piece is that apparently tickets for this quote-unquote event were sold to a very, very, very high price, and citing the terms of service for the quote-unquote festival, no refunds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If anyone spent money on this, congratulations, you played yourself.
You know, I've seen that part in the... I'm not sure what's worse. The fact that the most expensive ticket packages are $1.1 million, or the fact that they call it the Prometheus Premium Experience.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
So, they were let down? Or depends on your, or depends on how you feel about it. I don't know.
Listen, it's okay. Not all of us are Greek mythology experts. I'm not my roommates. They have their expertise in mythology. I have my expertise in numbers. But oh my god, like Jesus, this guy is just not going to get this to happen. Like for fuck's sake, this is the second place that said, "Oh yeah, we don't. This shit's just not happening." Remember, previously they said it was going to take place at Isla Mujeres, but the officials said, yeah, no, we have no knowledge of a Firefest 2 happening. God damn. What's going to be next? What, is he going to say there's going to be some shit happening in Juarez? Is he going to collaborate with the local government and act like this is going to be like a viewing party for the finale of Dragon Ball Super? Get the fuck out of here, man.
Maybe they'll just organize something underneath a bridge somewhere and just say, hey, welcome to the festival. Don't mind those empty syringes that might have heroin in it. It's fine. It's part of the decor. Trust me. Trust me. I need this so bad.
We got juices. And not the Capri Sun, just to be the real cheap-ass juices that you can educate when we have to poke a hole in it. Well, in a bottle.
The sandwiches are even worse. Anyway,
that was just lettuce.
Yeah, it's a lettuce wrap. We call it a sandwich. Fuck you.
Just lettuce and cheese, no meat. Gonna be shit tonight. Oh god.
Anyway, that is our hilarity for the week. Now let's move on to a more curious bit of news. So, as I might have mentioned here and there in places, I very greatly missed the last time we had new Death Grips material. Just for the record, the last studio album of theirs was Year of the Snitch, which came out in 2018, aka before COVID.
Yeah, and so I remember... Yeah, we did a group discussion of that during the biggest album roundup we did that year and that month. I still remember it.
Yeah. So but there's been some words supposedly recently that the band might not entirely be together. Apparently, there was a very, very cryptic message posted somewhere on the internet by a former member, Andy Morin, which led everyone to believe that the band had quietly broken up. But, oh, yeah, here it is. So, yeah, according to a comment on just a random Instagram post, he commented like, yeah, it's over. Steven doesn't want to do anymore, but truthfully, none of us can ever predict what will happen with the group. But now we've had a resurgence. Apparently, Death Grips decided to share a photo over on X. Really? You guys? Can't you guys just go over to Blue Sky? Like, trust me, the second you guys make it on Blue Sky, it is going to be fucking lit. The two holdouts that we need in order for Blue Sky to truly be the place where we can all take it to the next level in being terminally online. Death Grips and Totsuki Fujimoto. Those are the two. I will literally block all my internet browsers from being able to access Twitter, even out of temptation, if those two make it over. But, anyway, getting back on topic, Death Grips posted a photo over there of a handwritten message scribbled over a famed Salvador Dali illustration. The message reads roughly, "Despite rumor and hearsay, we remain active as Death Grips. Signed, Steven and Zach." Notably, Morin did not sign it.
So, I feel like it might be friction between friction among the...
There's clearly something going on.
Yeah, yeah, possibly some behind-the-scenes stuff. But look, I just want to know... I just want to know if Death Grips is going to be online again. I need the onlineness of Death Grips. I just need it. What's the point of living if we can't hear, you know, fucking... whatever the next stuff would be called. I mean, remember, the last album had a cameo appearance by the director of Shrek.
In time, all will be revealed. Probably.
Probably, but I am not a patient man. I am anything but. So, yeah, that's been the latest in the realm of Death Grips. That takes care of all the news topics. And we have one more thing to take care of here, and that is, of course, the sign-off. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think we were going to do the new album releases for this week? There ain't a damn thing worth noting. Not a damn thing.
It's Easter weekend, people. Yeah. Go to church, you fucking heathens.
Yeah. However, hold up.
I don't care either way.
Yeah. However... I do have just some suggestions, mainly two from the two suggestions that came out the week we weren't here.
Is it the Those Lazarus are, soundtracks?
One of them is three soundtracks from. Of course, Bonobo, Flowing Point. I mean, Flowing Point's in Clutch, Washington. Yeah. Oddly enough, yeah. And of course, yeah. The longest one is Clutch, Washington one, which is 1 hour and 18 minutes. It might be the shortest one of his discography because I don't know these albums usually like 2 hours or some person shit. But hey, the other album I was gonna recommend was Gangsta Doodles for Gangsta Music Volume 3, that's out now.
Oh, yeah, it is out now.
Yeah.
I don't Bandcamp, man. And also, Searches 2, it's basically that obscure. Just saying.
Anyway, so now we actually have to sign out and get the hell out of here, so. Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
The Discord, other Discords, my other show in like a month, the Blue Place, and around the corner at your local 7-Eleven. I don't know. You never know where I'm going to show up. I may even show up right behind you right now!
Ah! You mean that cat?
I told you, didn't I?
Wait, then who's actually behind me? Oh, it's just my gigantic Pochita plush. He's large. He's a very large boy. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
On Blue Sky, where I'm basically saying, please help me. I'm saying, please help me. Yeah, in Instagram, too. And, of course, my site, highwood.wordpress.com, where, well, I just finished doing time of the season because I'm doing all the anime look at because, well, Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did enough, so yeah, there's that.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Robert Barracuda. You can email me at robert@stuartresolutes.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. You know, visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast Q&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to keep tuned in, as always. Jump into the Discord so you can always be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up on site. Thank you for listening, one and all. We'll, of course, be back next week, hopefully, with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, Steel Ball Run is real!